Yeah, here we are, another week gone and NRL Live back. Bigger and better this week, episode 57. Sorry for missing last week, guys. Just was unavoidable, but everyone's back on board this week. Pete, you're back after a 2 week spell. How are you? And Tigers MS, how are you doing?
Very good, mate. Yourself?
Yes, doing well. And again, apologies for missing last week, but straight back into it this week. I've got a big show lined up. Obviously, it is finals time for Supercoach. So for you teams lucky enough to still be in, I'm going to give you the tips that's going to get you all the way through to the final, we hope anyway. Let's start it off with last week's results. First of all, looking at the Friday night game first, the Storm 26, far too good for the Rabbitohs. 8, Souths on a bit of a slump right now. The Eels, 26, defeated the Tigers 22 there. A pretty topsy-turvy game they got up in the end there. Saturday footy, Roosters 28, defeated the Raiders 22. A bit of a high-scoring affair, that one. While the Knights got over the Sharks 18-14. Sunday footy, the Eagles far too strong for the Warriors 27-12. The Broncos 26 defeated the Dragons 24. While the Cowboys smashing the hapless Panthers 36-4. And Monday night footy, possibly the biggest upset of the weekend. The Titans 26 defeating the Bulldogs 16. And Pete, I guess with some of those unlikely results, this top eight still hasn't really formed itself.
It's still very open. People still talking about the Cowboys having sacked their coach, Neil Henry. It's still a chance of making the eight. The Titans in eighth spot on 24. Cowboys in 12th spot on 20. Need to probably remain to win all their remaining games, but still, yeah, well within a chance. And even the Panthers also on equal points in 13th on 20 points. Still a chance of making the top eight.
Yeah, well, I guess as far as the Titans, the Cowboys is concerned, couldn't be a bigger game than they play each other this week. So, great chance for North Queensland, essentially a 4-point game. Let's look at last week's games in details from a Supercoach perspective. Jonathan Thurston topped the charts with 138, speaking of the Cowboys. While New South Wales Origin stars Blake Ferguson and Andrew Feeder picked up 134 and Paul Gallen 124. Certainly the big-name players are worth every penny right now. As predicted, well, we didn't have a show last week, but 2 weeks ago, Tigers MS and I talked about Kyle Felt and Matt King. They certainly have done well in recent weeks. Also Thurston and Josh Papali. And Thurston and Papali, well, they both scored in the top 10 this week. Sleeper of the round, David Meade, well, 119 points and fifth overall. Certainly did his job in William Zillman's absence. And what we learned, the big names are definitely worth possessing coming into finals times. But matchups are critical too. Jake Mullaney did very well for the Eels. And that man, again, Tigers MS, we thought it couldn't happen. But Ben Roberts putting up huge points this week.
That's right. We said last time that we thought that would just be a one-off. But there he is sitting on 118. He had a great game. Do you dare pick him again? Who knows? It depends. This time of year, if you have some trades left, hang on to them. If you're confident of making it through to this next round, because it's going to get hairy. I know a lot of players don't have any trades left, so it'll be a very interesting playoff series.
Yeah, and the injury's really taking its toll. And some of those guys that you might have picked up as cheapies earlier in the year might really come in handy now because they're starting to get some game time. But a lot of injuries as well. We'll talk about that a bit more a little bit later in the show. Hot and cold, Ben Roberts, as we just said. He's finally putting it together. Two big scores in the last 4 weeks. John Thurston leading the Cowboys late charge to the finals. Thurston's almost 35 points above his season average at the moment. Billy Slater's continuing his good run post Origin with almost 30 points above average. Should also mention both Sean Johnson and Tred Hodkinson very hot at the moment. And Tigers MS, just in regards to that strategy for finals time, I guess if you're in the top four, you have that opportunity with the second week to maybe save any trades you've got left for the sudden death games. But if you're within fifth to eighth, you pretty much now have to take that risk unless you're playing a team that's just been decimated by injuries.
Yeah, I think it's if you're in the must-win pile, I think it's all your eggs in one basket, really. If you've got a second chance regardless, then you can just wait and see what happens during this round and, yeah, go from there. But, yeah, it's a tough balancing act, I think, for what's going to happen.
Feels like lambs to the slaughter a little bit, I think, for a lot of Supercoach players right now, because guys are dropping like flies. Justin Hodges, Trent Merrin, Josh Dugan, I think Sam Burgess is out for a couple of weeks. A lot of the big names
Robbie Farrar was on Twitter earlier today or yesterday saying that he was not going to be back for another week and possibly an extra one after that, so...
Yeah, and if you're stuck without any trades after only a couple, it's hard to let these guys go. So you have to kind of just stick with them, stick them on your bench and hope for the best with your other guys. Let's move on to this week in league. And I guess we're looking at the AFL, I guess the league teams or the league itself of the NRL looking over the shoulder of the AFL. Essendon Bombers look like now that there's a lot going on there with the drugs in sport. And they're saying that, you know, basically, they don't want them in the final series. And I just wonder, Pete, could the same thing happen to the Sharks, or are we set to see the season out and then maybe deal with this?
I think sort of people are getting a little bit sick and tired of waiting for an outcome. No one wants to see drugs in sport. You know, we all want to see a level playing field in that regard. However, we are now only, you know, a number of like six rounds away from the, or even less from the finals, and yeah, this speculation is still going on. As you mentioned about Essendon being affected in the AFL, fell there, but Cronulla and Manly particularly under a little bit of scrutiny there with the connection with Stephen Danks, and Paul Gallen has been in the news just recently with flying back in from New Zealand there last week. We have his phone then confiscated by customs, apparently related to that dealings with Mr. Danks and the whole thing. I personally think, I hope that it's ended at season's end. The last thing we want is for this to come out in September. Personally, obviously I don't think Cronulla are going to win the comp anyway. And, you know, I just think it needed to be either done and dusted 3 months ago or wait to the end of the season. You can't be doing it the next few weeks. It's just going to be crazy.
Yeah, the longer it goes on, Tigers and Mets, the more that it lends to rise that, you know, as far as SADA is concerned, they simply just don't have the evidence to prosecute.
Yeah, it doesn't look like that. Unless they're hanging on and waiting for a statement piece and looking to knock a team or, you know, a certain bunch of individuals out of the finals, which could happen, to be honest. I mean, it'd be a cruel twist of fate if Cronulla actually made a grand final and then the week leading up were all dogged. It's kind of a little bit funny, but...
It was an ironic laughter.
Exactly right. Look, they allegedly have some evidence, but as we've seen in the AFL, basically just the people who were in charge of the system really have been charged. The players so far have been exonerated to a degree, so we'll have to see what happens there, although I don't think that in this case that to follow anything from the AFL is actually a good idea. I have a feeling that if it happened in the NRL, the NRL would have taken stronger action already, I think, especially if David Gallop was in charge at the time.
Look, the NRL don't want a repeat of what happened with the Melbourne Storm a few years back, so that could be playing on their mind a bit. In saying that, I guess if they, you know, they've taken the softly approach in regards to comparing them with the AFL, so maybe they could end up with that if Cronulla are able to or Manly are able to sort of make a grand final. But, you know, innocent until proven guilty, we don't really know if either club has actually done any wrongdoing. They're just in that the clubs that have been named predominantly in regards to this and obviously have the relation to Danks. We'll keep following it like we have all year, but it's time to keep moving along. This is NRL Live. You can download the podcast. Just follow the links, www.pullygsports.com, or subscribe on iTunes. And look, you can like us on Facebook, Pooley G Sports. You can follow us on Twitter, at Pooley G Sports, or at TigersMS78. Ask us the questions, particularly about Supercoach. If you're in the finals and you don't know quite what to do, who to make captain, who to leave out, and if you're lucky enough to have stored a trade or two up your sleeve, who to trade in to try to get that all-important victory and stay alive in finals time, then ask us on Twitter and we'll let you know, at Pooley G Sports or at TigersMS78. Let's go through all the games now for this week, starting, of course, with the Friday night games. The Rabbitohs and the Seagulls should be a good game. The second and third toughest teams to score off suggests that maybe you have to stay away from these two from a Supercoach perspective. They may batter each other into the ground. If you've rode south to the finals, you may suddenly be looking elsewhere to stay alive. Sam Burgess is out with suspension. George Burgess has been dropped to the bench. There's injury clouds over both John Sutton and Greg Inglis. They've both been named to stay in lineup. Don't be surprised if either or both end up being ruled out. The Seagulls welcome back Justin Horro, but it is at the expense of Anthony Watmo, who's out for at least a couple of weeks. And some players, Brett Stewart, David Williams, are in good form, so we're predicting Manly to do the better, but probably still be below average overall points-wise. Tigers in mess, how do you see it?
Look, I think Souths are probably going to feel a pinch in the next couple of weeks. Especially against, I think Manly are very much a sleeper side, if that makes sense for a team in the top four. I mean, that doesn't really make sense, but they've kind of just snuck up and all of a sudden they're a big chance, and I think they're probably second in line behind the Roosters for favouritism for the comp. Look, yeah, it's hard to play any of the players from either side, because I think it's an irresistible force meets an immovable object. Because I don't think there's a lot of points on offer from either of the teams, to be honest.
Yeah, we've certainly seen some up and down scores the likes of George Tafua this year, and it's very hard to predict for this one. So if you can, stay away, but I guess this time of year it is tough. Who are you picking to win?
I think Manly.
I'm going to agree with you. Pete, which way do you see it going?
Oh, it's a tough call, this one. If I had guarantees that Inglis and John Sutton were 100% fit and playing, I would be on Souths. I'll put the kiss of death on Manly in a very close match. I'll tell you what, Souths played very well. The first 20 minutes last week were pretty bad against Melbourne. After that, I thought they really showed the way to beat Melbourne, taking them up the middle. And that young player, they got Luke Kira, heard some big raps on him. He played extremely well. So watch out for him coming off the bench. But Manly in a very close one.
Yeah, I agree with you, Manly. Looking at the Broncos-Eels, the other Friday night game, I guess it's the reverse of the big clash, the Seagulls-Souths game. It's a battle of the two teams that give up the most Supercoach points. Ben Roberts has been a destroyer in recent weeks. He's named in the centres this game. And Vaitutai has returned. Braden Williami is on an extended bench, so if you have either of those cheapies on your bench from earlier in the year, it could work out well for you. The Broncos players like Matt Gillette, Corey Parker and Josh Hoffman should be in for a big day. The Eels are worst against second row forwards and halfbacks, so Ben Hunt, Sam Tidey and maybe even Josh Maguire could do well for the Broncos, while Brisbane are worst against front rows, so at least Tim Manor should be above average if you've got him. I can't see the Eels making it back-to-back games. Pete, do you see them maybe getting up for another win and trying to avoid this wooden spoon?
Parramatta did beat Brisbane earlier this year at Parramatta Stadium, so this is a return match. I think they only beat them by a point, if memory recalls. They're very close anyway. Brisbane, not overly impressive against the Dragons last week, but Anthony Griffin's made some big calls, dropping... in recent weeks, dropping Peter Wallace to the bench and Ben Hunt to halfback. Brisbane showing a hell of a lot of pride last few weeks. And really, I really don't understand that selection of Ben Roberts in the centres. I think he's going to be a turnstile for David Stagg, who's not a regular centre, and Jack Reid. I'd take Brisbane and Brisbane by plenty.
yeah, Tigers a mess. It might be interesting because Jared Haynes been named at 5'8", but maybe there'll be some crisscross there.
Yeah, look, I'm sure they'll mix it up, the Eels, but to be, in all honesty, and I know it's no yardstick, Jared Hayne was quite good at 5'8 versus the Tigers. Look, I can't see, as you said before, I can't see the Eels stringing two together. I don't think they're going to win again this year. And the Broncos, well, they should be more desperate and win the game. It doesn't matter by what means, but they should just win the game. It doesn't matter if it's ugly. They need to win, and I think they've got the experience there to do that. In terms of super coach, one from each team, I'd go Jack Reed and for the Bronx, and for the Eels, I'd go Vaia Tuatahi.
Yeah, he did well earlier in the year, Tuatahi, and he's quite affordable if you can afford, if you can even bring him in. Raiders and the Bulldogs, both teams do struggle to score super coach points, so ideally you won't be relying on many players from this game. If you are, the Dogs are slightly preferred. They are tougher to score off than the Raiders, 5th versus 10th overall. Once again, the big names are key. Josh Reynolds, Trent Hodkinson, James Graham and Michael Ennis. While for the Raiders, Josh Papali's been good lately and Blake Ferguson's now back. He was lethal last week, second top scorer overall. The Raiders are second worst against front row forwards. That's good news for Graham and also Aiden Tolman owners, while the Bulldogs are second worst versus fullback and 5'8". So maybe Terry Campese can step it up. Well, Anthony Milford is a must play if you can trade him in. I'm going to tip the Raiders there, but I'm not doing it with a lot of confidence. Tigers MS, how do you see it going?
I'm going to take the Dogs in this game, even though Canberra are very good at home. And the Dogs, well, look,
you just said the Raiders wouldn't lose again at home 2 weeks ago. I guess a 68-4 scoreline changes that.
Yeah. Yeah, it does. But I don't think that's going to happen again. Well, I mean, if it does, it does. But I don't think it's going to happen again. In terms of the Bulldogs for Supercoach, well, Cassiano and Eastwood have both gone for the year. And so I'm going to say the backs might have a fairly decent time. If you just want a bit of a bargain, maybe Mitch Brown or Tim Lafay will go okay. As is for the Raiders, you said Anthony Milford. I'm going to pick maybe Josh Papali, and even maybe Paul Vaughan off the bench.
I don't mind Sam Perrott either, although we've found this year that players have had a harder time at fullback than on the wing, and he's moved to fullback. Pete, you've got to break the deadlock here. We're 1-1. Is it going to be Raiders or the Dogs?
It's a tough match to pick. But with Cassiano and Eastwood missing for the Dogs, huge losses for Canterbury. They basically, particularly Cassiano, won them the match the week before against the Dragons for some great running. Ferguson made a big difference to the Raiders last week. I would go the Raiders once again in a close match.
Cowboys, Titans, talk about close matches. These teams are very evenly matched. Perhaps the hometown advantage gives the Cowboys the edge. The Titans have been toughest for opposing centres and wingers to score up all year, but I guess the loss of Jamal Idris a few weeks back makes that stat somewhat misleading. And therefore, you can play young gun Kyle Felt safely along with Kane Lynette and Antonio Winterstein. Jonathan Thurston's once again our buyer of the week. If you only have one trade left, he's the guy you want in your team in the finals. For the Coast, they're still suffering some injuries to some of their biggest players, including Albert Kelly and William Zillman. All players should be avoided for the time being, despite some good games in recent weeks, with the possible exception of Aiden Caesar. Pete, I'm going to go with the Cowboys. How do you see it going?
I see this as a really tough one again. The Gold Coast were impressive on Monday night, beating the Dogs. But the Cowboys have been really playing for their coach the last couple of weeks. And I'll give you this scenario, guys. How do you feel if you remember the Cowboys board that has just sacked Neil Henry? And now they could still make the top eight and possibly do some damage there. Who knows? I'd go for the Cowboys against the Gold Coast. I think Thurston will lead the way again for them, and I think they'll do them by a couple of converted tries. They're just a slightly more stable unit to me, and I think the Coast may have a little bit of trouble backing up there.
Yeah, I've never really understood sacking a coach mid-season unless you are literally showing him the door. I mean, it just doesn't make any sense on any level. It's like a captain of a cricket team telling a bowler halfway through an over that he's done his spell and then he gets a wicket the next ball. You know, and what are you going to do? Like, always wait till the over's ended. Same with the season. Unless you want to move them on right there and then, there's no point sort of rocking the boat until the season's done. And for the Cowboys, obviously, it's not done. Tigers are mess. They win this game this week. They're right in there.
No, look, honestly, if you have a bunch of trades left, fill it with Cowboys players. I think they're really coming good at the moment. Ray Thompson is a guy that you'd want on your team if you already have Jay Thurston in there. Obviously, Felt, you mentioned before, he's a cheap buy. And Tamau, who's going quite well. I think they'll do the Titans. As Pete said before, I don't think they can back up. The only Titan I'd pick would be Aiden Caesar.
Yeah, a guy I actually like quite a bit, who's been a little bit up and down admittedly this season, but it's Gavin Cooper. In his last three games, he's scored 84, 47 and 56. Pretty decent. So speaking of picking Cowboys guys, maybe Gavin Cooper could be a good one. The other Saturday night game is Pete's team, the Dragons v. the Sharks. Look, St. George are much improved since Josh Dugan came into their side, but obviously with him and also Supercoach top scorer Trent Merrin out for the season, expect the Saints to return to their early season play, which is great news for owners of Sharks players. Andrew Fifita, Paul Gallen and Todd Carney are the obvious choices. We also expect Michael Gordon and Chris Hyington to do well. If you've got Josh Drinkwater on your bench from the start of the year, you're in luck. He comes into the 17 after a very long break. And Charlie Runciman is another one. He put up big numbers during the Origin period, but has since been out injured. He's back in on the wing. There are no obvious breakout candidates for the Dragons. They should only be played if there are no other options. Tigers and mess. I think the Sharks are fairly strong favourites in this one. How do you see it going?
Well, look, yeah, it's one of the only remaining derbies left, like true derbies. And, yeah, I think the Sharks will probably... Well, they should get over the top in terms of what they have to play for versus what the Dragons have to play for. In terms of Supercoach, well, you mentioned the big players from Cronulla to Fida. I think Bakuya is also worth a shot if you need a back rower and if you have the trades left, of course. For the Dragons, a guy who's been playing quite well in the past couple of weeks, I've thought, is Jack DeBellin. And I think... him and Mitch Rain would possibly be your two.
Yeah, I mean, definitely Jack DeBellin is someone that's put up some decent numbers. Mitch Rain, well, he's gone down a bit the last 2 weeks, 44 each of the last 2 weeks, before that 70 and 93, so some good numbers the last month, and definitely worth a crack if you have the option. Pete, what about some of these younger players of the Dragons? Can they cause an upset at home?
Well, yeah, since Dugan's come along, like they've played some good footy. For the majority of the match against the Bulldogs, they were right in. It was only the last 15 minutes the Dogs got away, beaten by 2 points by Brisbane last week. But in reality, this situation's been going on for way too long, where they just cannot get across the line. And now their defence up the middle is opening up. Now, I guess you can expect that with a few injuries and nothing to play for this time of the year. This is the weakest Dragons team I've seen for some time. They have two backline players left from the 2010 Grand Final in Brett Morris and Jason Nightingale, and one of those is playing out of position, being Nightingale at fullback, and they've got one of the starting forwards in Ben Cray. Cronulla looking pretty solid, unlucky to get rolled by Newcastle last week. You'd have to be, if it wasn't a Dragons support, I'd be taking Cronulla for sure this week. They're a good, solid team with blokes like Gallen, Bakuya, Luke Lewis, Bryce Gibbs, John Morris, Andrew Fifita. It's a good set of six with the Gois, blokes like the Gois coming off the bench. These games are always close. In terms of Dragons young players to watch out for, young 5'8", Adam Quinlan is very, very quick. Keep an eye on him. He'd be one to keep an eye out for, but you'd have to take Cronulla realistically.
Well, they were strong favourites earlier in the year and the Saints got them fairly comfortably, but...
That's true.
It is a different time of year. The Sharks have got a lot to play for. That loss last week to the Knights put a bit of a dent, I guess, in their finals aspirations. They don't want to make it back-to-back at this point, so I think I have to agree with you. Let's move on to Sunday footy now. The Warriors and the Panthers out at Mount Smart Stadium. Look, it's pretty much... you wouldn't call it sudden death, but this is a huge game for both teams. They both struggle stopping Supercoach points. It could make this game a real point scorer if you have got players from these teams. Warriors are second worst against halfback. That makes Luke Walsh a play. While Panthers are worst against centres and wingers and 5'8", so Conrad Harrell and Dane Nielsen come into contention. Sean Johnson may be playing halfback, but it's expected he'll put up good numbers back at home this week as well. Tigers MS, any other people or players that you see putting up the numbers this week?
Apart from the guys that you've mentioned, I think you've pretty much covered them. This is a really big game for both clubs. Mm. Both of them are on the precipice, as the old saying used to be. I'm going to say the Warriors because they're at home. And the two guys I'm just going to pick are going to be your obvious Sean Johnson and the guy who we've been riding all season, Mr. Seguiaro.
Pete, is there any way the Panthers can cause an upset and stay alive in the finals race?
No. Ivan Cleary must be scratching his head the last few weeks and what's happened with his team. He started off poorly. Had a real mid-season resurgence and they played very, very well. And then just the last few weeks have just, I don't know what has happened to out in the mountains, whether the weather's warmed up out there and they don't like it or I don't know what it is. But
I think they've had a few injuries at the wrong time. That hasn't helped.
May not have helped, but even so, the performance against the Cowboys last week was not good. The Warriors, though, have also had their chances the last couple of weeks, successive losses. But yeah, like you guys, at home, I think the Warriors will get home.
Yeah, I'll tip the Warriors as well. I think the Panthers have got a game manager there at halfback in Luke Walsh. He can be very effective, but he's not going to take a game by the scruff of the neck. And coming against the likes of Jonathan Thurston, well, I mean, Thurston outpointed him, as you would expect last week. Knights v. the Storm. The Storm are fourth hardest to score off, but the Knights are also fairly tough at seventh. So big name players only in this one. Surprisingly, the Storm are third worst against halfback and second rows, and fourth against centres and wingers, which means guys like Tyron Roberts, Robbie Rocco, Jeremy Smith and James McManus can all be played, despite... it's a relatively poor matchup. The Storm's big three of Billy Slater, Cooper Cronk and Cameron Smith are safe bets. There's likely others will be below average. Morris Blair is out injured after putting up big numbers in recent weeks. I guess Will Chambers could be the one to benefit from that. Pete, it should be a good game at Hunter Stadium. I think it's going to be really close. Jeez, I don't know. How do you see it going?
I agree. I think it will be close. I watched the South Melbourne game with most league fans last Friday night with great interest. Melbourne, I think the scoreboard flattered them in the end. And I think, as I said, South showed the way to beat Melbourne is to take them on up the middle rather than to try and get around them. And I think Wayne Bennett would have taken note of that. Bennett coach teams don't have a good record against Craig Bellamy, just as a matter of interest. Mm. But I think that Newcastle at home, with the likes of Jeremy Smith, Chris Houston, Kay Snowden, etc., leading the way, I think they will get up in a close match. I think they'll take on Melbourne through the forwards, and I think they'll beat them by about a converted try.
Yeah, I think I'll stick with the Storm purely because of that record, but, gee, I think it could really go down the wire. Tigers MS, can you break the deadlock?
Yeah, look, I think Melbourne, they're in good form. Yeah, they've had their little lull, mid-season lull, and they are back.
Mid-season lull.
As for Supercoach Proctor and Hoffman, I think the two back rowers there, I think for Melbourne are a good bet. As for the Knights, I think if the Knights are going to win, then McManus, Gay Guy, Lalua, or Iwade are going to have to do some damage. So if they're going to win, then pick those guys.
Yeah, I don't mind Luai in this game. Certainly centres and wingers have proven themselves against the Storm this year. The Tigers and the Roosters is the Monday night game. I guess it's the biggest mismatch of the round. The top scoring Supercoach team versus the second last team. Roosters are the toughest to score off as well. The Tigers are third worst or third easiest to score off. Despite this, David Nofaluma and Tim Simona have been very consistent since coming into the starting lineup for the West Tigers. However, Simona has been moved to the centres for this week with Lottie Dakiri back in the lineup. And Roger Tavares-Sheck was moved to fullback last week and it saw a sharp reduction in his point score. He does have a chance to strike back this week. The Tigers are worse against the fullback overall. They're also second worst versus centres and wingers. So it's good news for Michael Jennings, Mitch Orbison and Sean Kenny-Dow owners. And just as a note, Sonny Bill Williams returns to the lineup after his 2-week suspension. So if you kept hold of him during that time, you'll be laughing as you can bring him in against a very good matchup right on finals time. Obviously, I'm picking the Roosters by plenty. Tigers MS, is there any way the hapless West Tigers can cause a huge upset?
If they play the 20 blokes that they've got on their team list, yes. Unfortunately, they can't do that, so no, it's not going to happen. Supercoach-wise, yeah, you've mentioned the back line for the Roosters, which should have a fairly decent night against the Tigers. The Tigers wingers, winger and centre now, they have a new bloke by the name of Lottie Dakiri, I think his name is, coming back. hasn't played for about 2 years, essentially. The Roosters buy a lot. If you want a cheap pickup who might score some points, who went okay last week in a losing game, was Joel Luani, the under-20s, not the under-20s hooker, but the fill-in for Robbie Farah.
Yeah, some great cheapies coming in this time of year if you did keep some trades, but or were lucky enough to have him from earlier in the season. And he's certainly one of them. He's a guy that probably doesn't have a huge future, but he's making the most of this opportunity with Robbie Farah out, and who knows, maybe he can pick up a contract somewhere else down the road. Pete, what's there really left to say about this game? I assume you're taking the Roosters.
I am, but I'd just like to say about the young winger, David Nofaluma. Congrats to Mick Potter for actually giving this guy a chance this year. I think he's been a bit of a discovery for the Tigers in a pretty lean year for the Tigers. And, looking at this lineup and seeing blokes like Braith and Asher there at halfback, you know, there's not been a good buy for the West Tigers, I have to say. A few clubs in the comp line included for old Tigers just looking for the end of the season now. I think it's been an injury riddled and, you know, not a good season, unfortunately. And to top it off, why on earth are they playing this game at East home ground? why is this not being played at Campbelltown or Leichhardt?
It will
the
change.
The almighty dollar.
It will change from next year, apparently. I think it's pretty much the end of the SFS for the Tigers home games. Mm-hmm.
All right, but let's hope that no more Tigers players get seen in rugby union colours this week, but you'd be mad to go past the Roosters, and they didn't beat Canberra by much last week, but they did enough to win, and I think that's what they'll do this week as well.
Well, speaking of off-field controversies, Pete, you've got an interesting world of sport for us this week.
Yeah, well, I'm a massive cricket fan, as many, you know, for league fans are often fans of other sports, and cricket is my other one, and it's been horrible these last couple of weeks just seeing us getting so close in the Ashes and being defeated. Well, as an article came up about one of the English players is on the fringe who's been a bit of a crowd favourite over the years, I guess, a bloke called Monty Panesar, spin bowler. He had a very good tour of India late last year for England and played a starring role, in fact, and actually blocked us out of the first test match over there in 2009. But just recently, he plays for Sussex, and Sussex have launched an investigation after he received a fixed penalty notice from police for being drunk and disorderly following an incident at a Brighton nightclub. And Brighton is like the equivalent of, like, I don't know, sort of the Gold Coast of England, I guess, where their beaches are, you know, very pebbly and so on, but beaches nonetheless. A statement on the club's website reads, Sussex County Cricket Club can confirm that an incident took place involving Monty Panesar in the early hours of Monday, 5th of August. The matter is under full investigation. The cricketer subsequently apologised after urinating on bouncers, which is fairly appropriate for a cricketer, I guess you'd say. He was ejected him from a nightclub, according to reports in The Sun, which is such a credible newspaper. The paper reported that the 31-year-old had been partying at the Shush nightclub, obviously didn't shush, on Brighton's beachfront, which was hosting a gay pride event. Anyway, I'll let that one go through to the keepers. Another cricket cliche for you. However, when a woman complained he was hassling them, the spin bowler was asked to leave. He proceeded to the promenade above the club and relieved himself on the bouncers who chased after him into his corner in the nearby pizza parlour, where he was heard shouting, "Help, help." Securing him in an arm lock, they hauled him back to the club and called police, according to the report. A Sussex police spokesman said, a 31-year-old man received a fixed penalty notice for being drunk and disorderly after being seen urinating in public near the Shush Club in Kings Road Arches, Brighton, around 4:13 a.m. on Monday. The cricketer spokesman has since apologised on his behalf. Monty would like to apologise unreservedly for any offence caused. The spinner was selected in the squad for the third Ashes test at Old Trafford, but did not play in the match that secured the Ashes for England. And there's no truth to the rumour that the security guards reportedly said that they were pissed off about the whole thing.
Well, I heard that, it's to be expected when a tail ender sees a bouncer, they pee themselves.
Absolutely, absolutely. Well, Monty was never a great one at handling the bat, so,
As proved.
Maybe you'd go out for a night with Dave Warner and Joe Root, hey, and just see, and just have a few drinks at the end of the tour and, see what happens.
Yeah, you could say that he showed the full Monty.
Absolutely.
Oh!
Oh, dear. Well, guys, that just about wraps it up. That was a very good world of sport, Pete. Well done.
Thank you.
And we'll see you next week.
Yep, see you next week. Looking forward to it.
Tigers MS, thank you for this week. We'll see you next week also.
No problem, mate.
And just going to try to stay out of trouble there if you're going out to the Shush nightclub. Maybe it's better to keep it... pants, although I did hear that Monty Panesar is going to get a sponsorship with a nappy company after all this. Might work out in his favour. That is it for NRL Live. Of course, you can catch us at www.pullygsports.com. Click us a like on the Facebook page or follow us on Twitter at Pully G Sports or at Tigers MS78. We'll see you next week.